Bibles, please, open to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, and I want you to look down at verse 38. We're going to look at verses 38 to verse 44 in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word, please, this morning, as I read this passage to you. Mark, chapter 12, verse 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." This is God's word. He that has ears to hear, let him hear God's word to us today. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, may we indeed have ears to hear what you have to say to us through this passage, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We are here to worship God. That's what we do. We don't come to church to be entertained. We come to church to worship our Lord. And worship in public here at the church has many elements to it. When we pray, we are worshiping the Lord as we pray. When we sing the praises of God like you sang this morning, or we hear a song and our hearts are lifted and elevated by a beautiful song that we just heard, all of that is worship. When we read the scripture just like we did and you stood for the reading of God's word, we are actually saying, "Lord, we submit to the authority of your word." When we pray and we give thanks, that's all part of the worship experience that we have at church. When we just took the Lord's Supper, when we gathered around the Lord's table and we fellowship with the Lord, all of this is part of worship. Another part of worship that we don't really talk about a lot is giving. Giving of our offering to the Lord. This is part of worship that is neglected. First, maybe some don't participate in it because perhaps there are some that feel that the little that they give really doesn't amount to much, or they could give really wouldn't amount to much. And then some people don't participate in this because, frankly, we preachers are to blame for this, is because people have a negative view of giving in the church. And it's a lot of that is because of the greed of pseudo preachers. Many preachers and ministries have taken advantage of people and they have abused them through unbiblical teaching about giving and about money. And a lot of times they present a very low view of God. I've heard this said a lot. You know, God, they present God like he's this bill collector. Like if you don't put in your tithe and offering, God's going to get his money somehow. He's out to get you. He's going to get your money. And beloved, I've heard that said and I cringe when I hear that, very frankly. Because that's such a low view of God. That's not, please get that, if that's the way you think about God, please get that out of your mind. God is the gracious giver. He's the loving giver. And I don't want people to have a negative view of God. When I hear preachers say this, it's so burdensome to me. And partly because one of the most beautiful ways of expressing our worship to God is by giving him your offering. It's a beautiful expression of gratitude and love to our Lord. In the Old Testament, when an Old Testament worshiper brought their sacrifice to the altar, it was a high moment. It was a glorious moment for them to be able to do that. And it was a wonderful, joyous occasion. Now, in our passage here today, Jesus is going to teach us some lessons about the true nature of worshiping God in this manner, by calling attention to the offering of a poor widow. And what we're really going to see here in this passage today is a contrast. It's a contrast between superficial outward religion, where people kind of go through a ritual and check the boxes, and by doing so, they think that they're being spiritual. It's all superficial. It's all outward show. And then contrasting that with true worship, true inward religion, true worship of God. So I want you to see 2 points here. First of all, we'll talk about the performance of religious works. Look again in verse number 38. Jesus is kind of giving a call to beware. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes. Here Jesus is issuing another warning about religion that is external and done for show, performed for the praise of men, done to be seen of men. This is the religion that characterized the leaders in Jesus' day, the religious leaders. They didn't practice their religion. They performed it to be seen of others. And we need to be careful that we don't do the same thing. Why? Because Jesus calls these men hypocrites, meaning it wasn't real with them. If all of your religion is on the surface and it's all about show, then chances are you're as lost as they were. You better watch out. And so Jesus here is going to pronounce a severe denunciation of these scribes. And this must have shocked the people that were listening, because they were taught and trained to hold these men in high esteem. According to Jewish tradition, Moses received the law, gave it to Joshua. Joshua gave it to the elders, who gave it to the prophets, who gave it to the scribes. Therefore, the scribes were the guardians of the law. They were to be held in high esteem. But here Jesus is going to point out their hypocrisy. And he does it by several ways, pointing out the illustrations. Notice he says they walk around in long robes. Look in verse number 38. Beware the scribes which love to go in long clothing. They wore these full-length, expensive, ornate, outward robes. I'm glad I don't have to wear a robe when I preach here. But they did back in that day. They would wear these robes and they would have these grandiose displays of their piety by the tassels that were on the fringes of their robes. And sometimes they would be enlarged to cause people to look and see. And they also loved respectful greetings in the marketplace, Jesus said in verse 38, and loved salutations in the marketplaces. These religious robes marked them as scribes everywhere they went. And they loved to get these reverential greetings from people in the marketplace. They loved to be called rabbi, or they loved to be called master, or they loved to be called leader. You know, it'd be like me saying, when people say, how do you like me to address you? Sometimes people ask me that. Well, you can address me as the most holy, reverend, esteemed Dr. Harmon, PhD, you know. No, just call me Jerry. But that's what they would love back in this day. They loved those titles. They loved those kind of greetings. And also they loved the chief seats. Look what it says in verse 39. And the chief seats in the synagogues, these were the benches along the sides. The common people sat on the floor, but the scribes had a comfortable place to sit. And also at the banquet places in verse 39, the uppermost rooms at feasts, they would be love to be seated at the head table. You might say that these guys suffered from a severe form of megalomania. They wanted to be treated as if they were great. And then Jesus said this in verse 40, which devour widows' houses. What does that mean? It means they took advantage of widows. These were the most vulnerable people in Jesus' day. And they would defraud widows. They would demand widows give money to purchase the blessing of God. A lot like we hear religious hucksters do today. If you give me just a little bit of seed money, it might be your last little bit of money. But if you give it to me, God will multiply to you. And they were devouring widows' houses. And they loved long public prayers in verse number 40. And for a pretense, making long prayers. The Jews in this day believed that the longer your prayer was, the more loquacious, verbose that the prayer was, the greater chance it had to be being heard of God. And so they made these long public prayers. I remember one time I flew to London and went to church on Sunday at a specific church, and the man got up to pray, and he started praying, and I'm ashamed to say that I was suffering from jet lag, and I kind of fell asleep during his prayer, and I woke up 10 minutes later, and he was still praying, so I went back to sleep. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes people, what are we doing when we pray? Are we trying to impress men? Or are we truly reaching out to God? Here, these scribes love these long public prayers for show. And Jesus says of them in verse 40, look at the last phrase, "These shall receive the greater damnation." That's a pretty severe thing here. Instead of being rewarded by God for their self-righteousness and self-promoting religion, as they expected, they would receive the opposite. They're going to get the greater condemnation. This is a sobering reality because they knew the truth. They were exposed to truth, and yet they did not receive the truth. In fact, Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, we don't have time to look at it, he pronounces woes against these religious leaders. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. And for neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." That is, you're blocking people from the kingdom of heaven with your show of religion. Now, it's against this contrast that Jesus gives us, and this is the second part, number two, the picture of real worship. We saw the performance of religious works, but here the picture of real worship. And this is a call to behold, because over against this is the contrast of this widow that we see in verse number 41. Now, this is what Jesus does. Now, Jesus has been teaching in the court of the Gentiles, that open area where people could come and hear him. And on Tuesday of Passion Week, Jesus was teaching there. You remember on three different occasions, he was interrupted by these religious leaders who wanted to debate Jesus. And Jesus each time sent them back embarrassed because they could not compete with Jesus theologically. But now Jesus switches from the court of the Gentiles and he walks over to the court of women, because it's there in the court of women that there's a treasury. And there at the treasury, they had 13 boxes of where they would receive the offering, just like we have an offering box back there. They would have 13 of these boxes, and on the top of it would be a kind of an inverted trumpet where people could throw in their offering, and it kind of made a clanking noise, you know, as it went in. And you could imagine people coming by and giving their offering to one of these receptacles. And a person that had a, you know, fair amount of change would throw it in. It would make all kind of noise. Clank, 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 clank. You could just hear it, right? And some people that were really wealthy would throw in a lot of coins. And boy, it made a lot of noise. And so Jesus is there, and he's sitting now on the opposite of this treasury, and he's observing. There are several lessons that we can learn as Jesus sees. Look at verse 41. "And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much." Here's the first lesson I want you to see from this. Jesus observes our offering. Jesus sat down purposely opposite of the treasury here at the court of women, and he's watching people, and he's watching what they put in. You know, as a pastor, I can say that I never in my ministry have I ever checked to find out who gives what. I have absolutely no idea what you give in the offering. I don't look at that. It's none of my business. I just know what I give in the offering. And actually, sometimes I don't even know that, because my wife controls all the money in our house. And I know that I get a allowance if I'm good. And sometimes I don't get it. But I know we do give our tithes and offerings unto the Lord. But I don't know what anyone else gives. You know why? That's purposeful on my part. I don't want to know what people give. I don't want to know, because I don't want anyone accusing me of treating some people better than others based on what they give in the offering. I want to love all of God's people the same. It's none of my business. I don't have to observe people's offering. You know why? Because Jesus does that. Jesus is the one watching. And this matter is a matter between you and him and your worship towards him. And so he's there and he's watching. Jesus was a people watcher. He's watching their actions, but also he watches their motives. And I want you to see another thing. Jesus sees not only what is in our hand, but he sees what is in our heart. More importantly than what the amount that is in our hand is what is in our heart when we worship the Lord in this way. You see, God doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. God already owns everything. It's already His. Don't think that you can reach in your wallet and make God richer. It's already His. The Bible says that the silver and the gold are mine, saith the Lord, Haggai 2, 8. It already all belongs to Him. He's not the one collecting. He's the one that's constantly giving. What God wants is your heart. When some people say, well, if it's already all God's, then why do we give? Well, because, again, God wants your heart. And your giving is a real indicator of how much He has your heart. God doesn't want you to come to His house and putting in an offering the way you would pay the IRS. Because it's not taxes, beloved. It's worship. Now, the IRS, they don't really care how much or what your attitude is when you give them. They just want their money. You can give them grudgingly, and in fact, I do. But they just want their money. Not so with God. He wants your heart. And if you give it grudgingly, you may as well just hold on to it. Because it's not an act of worship then. And it really is defeating the whole purpose. He wants your heart. And in 2 Corinthians 9:7, Paul is talking about the giving to the Corinthians. He said, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. He wants your heart. Someone said that there's a disease which is particularly powerful. It's called cirrhosis of the giver. It's an acute condition which renders the patient's hand immobile when it attempts to remove money from the billfold to the offering plate. If you have that disease, just don't even worry about giving. Just hold on to it. If you can't give out of an act of worship, if you can't say, Lord, I give this because I realize that everything I am and everything I have, it's because of You. It's You. You've given me all that I have. And I give this as a token of my worship to You. I give You my heart. If God doesn't have your heart, He doesn't really want your offering. It's an act of worship. Here's another thing. Jesus measures our offering by our sacrifice, not by our amount. Look at verse number 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Jesus could see that how? Because of the noise that the money made when it went into that receptacle down into the box. He saw that there were many rich that gave much. And look at verse 42. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. A mite is from the Greek word lepta, literally thin or light. What she gave, a mite was worth 1/8 of a cent. 1/8 of a cent. So the two together was 1/4 of a penny. This wasn't much, but it was all she had. She gave sacrificially. Probably didn't make any noise when she threw it into the receptacle. No noise at all. And yet Jesus was there, and He saw her gift, and He calls His disciples, verse 43, and He called unto Him His disciples, and He saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Jesus said she gave more than anyone. She gave more than anyone. You see, He measures her giving not by the amount, but by the sacrifice. She was giving all that she had. People give some out of their abundance, and that's wonderful. Some can afford to give more than others. And again, that's wonderful. If God's entrusted with you more and you give more, bless you for being obedient to the Lord in that manner. But I want to tell you something, dear friend. Some of you who sit here and think, well, you know, I don't have much. Look, it's not the amount, it's the heart, it's the sacrifice. That's what God sees. He sees your heart, no matter how much or how little. And again, I thank God for every believer who worships the Lord in this way. And through the years, I've seen many people come and worship God in this way, and it's a blessing. You know, several months ago, a man came to my office, and he was wearing cargo pants, and he took out a big stack of bills and threw them down on my desk and one side of his pocket. And then on the other side, he ripped open the pocket and he threw out another stack of bills. And I said, that seems like it's a lot of money. He said, that's $10,000. I said, you have any more pockets there? No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. And this was very obvious to me that this was a man who worked very hard for, and he was giving sacrificially, I believe, of the work that he had done. He said, I want to give this for the Lord's work. And then just this week, I had a dear sweet lady come into my office, and she had an envelope in her hand, and she said, and she's a woman who takes care of her mother. Her husband is an invalid. She's got a very difficult life. And she said, I've collected a little bit through the years. I have a little jar I would put money in, and I would wait until it kind of collected, and I wanted to give something to the Lord's work. And she gave me an envelope, and that envelope was $750. But I knew it took a lot of sacrifice on her part to give that unto the Lord. And this was her heart's worship. She said, I want to give this to the Lord's work. All of those offerings that people give in that fashion, they are precious in the sight of God. Precious, just like this woman's offering here, where Jesus calls attention to this offering, where this woman gives so sacrificially to the Lord. Don't give your leftovers to God. Give God your best. And whatever amount that is, God accepts it as a sacrifice unto Him, well-pleasing. David said, I'm not going to give anything to God that doesn't cost me something. God measures our giving in terms of our sacrifice. But here's another thing I want you to see. Jesus can take the little that we give and do much with it. He takes the little that we give and do much with it. Look again in verse 44. For they all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. This little widow did not know that when she put in her two mites, that the Lord of glory was watching. And that this one gift that she would give sacrificially would be an inspiration to the church for over 2,000 years. Recorded in the annals of history. It's recorded in eternity. This sacrificial gift that this woman gave. And it's still inspiring us today with this true worship from her heart. This wonderful gift. This gift that is really convicting when you think about it. Have I given so sacrificially to the Lord? I remember years ago, I was preaching at a conference in Honduras, Central America, and preached all week long, and it was in a poor area, Copan Ruinas, there in Honduras. And at the end of the week, a dear sweet lady came up to me, elderly lady. It was obvious that she was alone by herself, and she gave me, in Honduras currency, 40 lempira, which is about equal to, in U.S. dollars, about $1.50. And I could tell that this was a sacrificial gift. This was really, you know, an impoverished woman. And I refused. I said, you know, I really don't want to take this. But she insisted that I take it. She would not take no for an answer. And I was so touched by that gift. I went back and I told my church. And then we opened up a fund called the Widow's Mite Fund. And I got on the radio and I told about this one wonderful sacrificial gift that this woman gave. And I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to collect clothes and blankets and shoes, because the children in that town, they were just destitute. They needed clothing. They needed blankets. They needed shoes. They all kind of necessities. And by the grace of God, we were able to fill up a whole tractor trailer full of all of those clothes and blankets and things that the kids needed. And we sent that thing down there, had some men in our church drive it down there to Honduras. You know, they had trouble getting in because the local government there at Honduras, they wanted to seize that tractor trailer and they wanted to hold on to it and sell it for money, what was in there. Had to actually hire a lawyer to get them to release that. But finally they were able to make it down to that little village and was able to give away all those things that God's people had given. And that one little gift that woman gave inspired so many people to give so much more. I guess the point that I'm making here is that God can take little and do much with it. God does not despise the gifts that you give to Him. How small they might be in man's eyes, they are huge in God's eyes. And God can do much with it. If there's love and sacrifice with the giver, there'll be spiritual power in that gift. And God will use it for His glory. But don't miss the real meaning of this passage here. What's the real meaning? The real meaning is that God wants from us true worship. He wants our heart. Does He have your heart today? That's what He wants. He wants all of us. We have to give our whole selves unto the Lord. And so since the Lord observes our and evaluates our giving, we must give as unto Him. And by the way, in just a short period of time, Jesus, the Son of God, would place into God's treasury His own life. That was on Tuesday that Jesus observed this. On Friday, Jesus would give His all. He would give His all for us, that we might have salvation. He gave everything He had to the treasury of God, that you and I might be saved. He emptied Himself. He became our sin bearer. Paul said it like this: "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might become rich." He took our sins upon Himself so that God could give us eternal life. J.C. Ryle said this: "A giving Savior ought to have giving disciples." May we give to God our all. Let's bow for prayer together. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just would call upon you today to examine your own heart before the Lord. What God wants is He wants your heart. He wants all of you. Does He have it? Does He have it? Can you say quietly there, "Lord, here is my heart. I give it to You. I give myself to You. It's my reasonable service for what You've done for me, for Your mercies to me. I give my heart to You." And if God has all of you, friend, then true worship will be the result of that. True worship will come. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, I would ask that this very moment, turn from your sin and turn to Him. Say, "Lord Jesus, I give You my heart. I give You my heart. Save me, Lord Jesus." Father, bless these words to hearing hearts today. We pray in His name. Amen.